Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the South Indian Bank Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sohail Halai from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Yeah, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. Today, we have with us senior management from South Indian Bank, represented by Mr. Murali Ramakrishnan, MD and CEO, Mr. Thomas Joseph, EVP and Group Business Head Sales, Mr. Anto George, our Senior General Manager, HR and Admin, Mr. Sanchay Sinha, Head Liability and Branch Banking, Mr. Leelanand, Head Treasury, Ms. Chitra, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Minu, GM Credit. The call is to discuss 3Q FY23 earnings and also to look at the future outlook of the bank. I would request Mr. Ramakrishnan, sir, to give his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We're not able to hear you.
Thank you. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us for the South Indian Bank Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. We are joined by my colleagues, Mr. Thomas Joseph, EVP and Group Business Head Sales, Mr. Anto George, T, Head HR and Admin, Mr. Sanchay Sinha, Head Retail Liabilities, Mr. Leelanand, Head Treasury, and Ms. Chitra, CFO, and Ms. Minu, GM Credit. We hope that you and your family are safe and healthy. We continue to appreciate the efforts of our employees who have shown strong resilience and the ability to adapt to changing circumstances. Let me start with a brief update on consolidation of our loan portfolio. As per our stated strategy, the bank intends to build granular loan portfolio. Over the past five quarters, the bank churned about 30% of its loan book with better underwriting mechanism. The new book based on the accounts opened since October 1, 2020 is rupees 18,000 crores. The overall average ticket size has decreased from rupees 17 lakhs as at September 30, 2020, to less than rupees 14 lakhs as at December 31, 2021. We have seen consistent growth in our disbursement across the products quarter-on-quarter in this financial year. The bank achieved an overall disbursement of rupees 16,800 crores during nine months ended December 2021. Further, we saw a record disbursement of rupees 7,901 crores during the current quarter ended December 2021, which was 81% higher than the same quarter previous year. Coming to the corporate lending, we have disbursed about rupees 7,600 crores during the nine months ended December 2021, predominantly the A and above rated corporates. The share of A and above rated large corporates has improved from 63% as at March 31, 2021 to 82% as at December 31, 2021. It's worth highlighting that we have zero delinquency on new corporate book. Gold portfolio is a segment which has been consistently growing throughout the pandemic. We saw a disbursement of about 5,200 crores during nine months ended December 2021, with an average ticket size of about 1,40,000 rupees and LTV of 74%. Personal loan is another segment where we are witnessing good traction since the launch of pre-approved PL in September this year. We are seeing steady monthly disbursement run rate of around rupees 85 crores. As far as SME is concerned, given limited quality credit opportunity at desired pricing, we are cautiously growing this segment with the monthly disbursement averaging at rupees 250 crores in comparison to the average of 175 crores in the first two quarters. We continue to support our existing borrowers with good credit history. The most important part of the new book is that we have seen very low delinquency. Another focus area where the bank has put in a lot of efforts over the past few quarters is on recoveries and collection. The bank has taken multiple initiatives to strengthen recovery process like beefing up collection team, onboarding collection agencies across the country, alignment of recovery team with asset verticals, and implementation of new collection system. These initiatives have helped the bank to do a record recovery and upgrade, including recovery from technical written-off accounts of rupees 928 crores non-performing accounts in nine months ended December 2021, compared to last full year performance of rupees 600 crores. Further, the recovery during the quarter was without any major consortium account resolution. We are targeting to achieve full year recovery of around 1,200 crores, which if it happens, will be 100% more than the last year. Further, following the robust collection drive within the bank, our SMA-2 portfolio has consistently improved quarter-on-quarter from rupees 2,139 crores in Q1 2022 to rupees 1,330 crores in Q3 2022. This has in turn led to an improvement in collection efficiency quarter-on-quarter from 87.7% in Q1 2022, 95.1% in Q2 2022, to 100.6% in Q3 2022. Coming to the Indian economy, lately we are seeing sudden spurt in COVID cases, and there is a threat of new Omicron virus variant looming over the economy. Many states have begun to put restrictions on economic activity, which may impact businesses to some extent. However, compared to second wave, most people are vaccinated and hospitalization rates in third wave are less across the states. We are hopeful that the Indian economy will be back on the path of economic growth once the intermittent pulse of COVID third wave stabilize. The bank is closely assessing impact of third wave on our borrowers and will provide suitable assistance and support if needed. Let me take you through key highlights of the operational and financial performance for this quarter. The total business for the bank stands at 145,757 crores as at December 31, 2021. Retail deposits rose by 10% year-on-year to 84,151 crores. CASA deposits increased by 21% year-on-year to rupees 28,229 crores, predominantly due to continued improvement in our SA business, which grew by 21% year-on-year to 23,569 crores. CASA ratio continued to improve and increased by 113 basis points Q-on-Q to reach 32% of the total deposits as at December 31, 2021. Bulk deposits declined by 40% year-on-year to rupees 4,197 crores in line with our strategy. NRI deposits, which has been growing steadily, rose by 5% year-on-year to rupees 27,144 crores and contributes about 31% of the total deposits. Low-cost NRI deposits grew by 7% year-on-year to rupees 8,424 crores. The bank saw a robust growth of 35% year-on-year in our NRI remittance business during the quarter. Advances grew on a sequential basis to rupees 59,229 crores. We continue to see good traction in our gold loan with a consistent growth of 12% year-on-year to reach 9,862 crores as at December 31, 2021. The bank continues to calibrate and churn corporate portfolio with better-rated corporates. The share of A and above-rated corporates in large corporate book, that is 100 crores and above, improved from 78% at September 2021 to 82% in December 2021. During the quarter, we have seen good traction in recently launched pre-approved personal loans. We continue to selectively grow our SME portfolio and disbursed rupees 800 crores of SME/MSME loans in the quarter ended December 31, 2021. Our investment book was at rupees 21,066 crores, of which HTM category contributed to 18,585 crores, while AFS contributed to 2,455 crores. The bank witnessed slippages of rupees 387 crores during Q3 2022, which were in line with the guidance given for FY 2022. Personal and business segments continue to feel the impact of the COVID. The bank has restructured rupees 1,970 crores worth of loans under COVID OTR framework, of which business segment is 1,024 crores, personal segment is 306 crores, and corporate is 640 crores. The bank's collection efficiency improved from 95% in Q2 2022 to 101% in Q3 2022. The overall collection efficiency for the month of October, November, December 2021 were 100%, 99%, and 102% respectively. Gross NPA improved by 9 basis points from 6.65% as at September 30, 2021 to 6.56% as at December 31, 2021. During the quarter, the bank was able to recover or upgrade rupees 291 crores worth of NPAs. The net NPA ratio improved by 33 basis points from 3.83% as at September 30, 2021 to 3.52% as at December 31, 2021. Net interest income for the quarter increased by 9% Q-on-Q to 573 crores. Net interest margin improved by 15 basis points Q-on-Q to 2.64% in Q3 2022. Sequential growth in CASA has led to an improvement in cost of deposits by 17 basis points Q-on-Q to reach 4.67%. Non-interest income was flat at rupees 222 crores. Our core fee income increased by 23% year-on-year to rupees 127 crores. Overall, 346 crores in Q3 FY 2022. These provisions include 279 crores towards NPA and NPI and standard asset provisions of rupees 40 crores. Our PCR improved from 65.02% as at September 30, 2021 to 68.08% as at December 31, 2021. PCR excluding write-off improved by 410 basis points to 48% as at December 31, 2021, compared to 43.9% as of September 30, 2021. Our overall capital adequacy ratio continues to be robust with 15.68% as of December 31, 2021. The tier 1 ratio stands at 12.72% as of December 31, 2021. We are hopeful that the momentum in disbursements and collection will continue in the coming quarters with the headwinds in the economic trajectory. With this, we open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Gautami Desai from Chanakya Capital Services Private Limited. Please go ahead. Gautami, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
You can hear me, right?
Yes.
So we are very patient investors, and we really appreciate that that the bank is trying to grow without a capital raise. And we request you to continue doing the same. So congratulations for that. And sir, you've been, I mean, even the presentation and just now also, you spoke clearly about your growth in the gold loan and the corporate. So similarly, can you take us to, you know, your growth across verticals, and where are you seeing, you know, more, where is your focus on right now? Like, where are you more hopeful about? Like, I could see some of your vehicle loans going up and things like that. So can you throw some light on that?
In fact, I've covered as part of my initial talk. We are actually focusing on doing good quality business across segments. So as explained in the past, we are focusing on growing retail and SME business, because traditionally this bank had a lumpiness in the corporate book. So as a conscious strategy, the bank was continuously trying to reduce the dependence on bulky corporate loans. So in tune with that, the corporate loan portfolio, which was contributing in excess of 45% to the total loan book, is now has come down to 24 to 25%. However, to granularize the risk, etc., the focus was turned towards SME and retail. But in the last 1.5 years, since the COVID pandemic has started, you know that this is the segment which is also most vulnerable, because they have seen the biggest shocks. Therefore, we are, as we witness the impact of this on the market, we are continuously tweaking our strategy to ensure that we do find opportunities in good, well-rated corporates. So, corporate book, as you must have heard from my talk, that we are looking at well-rated corporates, and the composition of that book has grown up substantially, and we have also seen zero delinquency in the new book which got created. Apart from this, we are definitely growing our gold loan book, which you know that the credit risk is negligible and almost zilch, and we are growing quite well without compromising on LTV. And we are also growing SME very cautiously, by ensuring that we increase our underwriting standards. We have improved our underwriting standards, and we are ensuring that the new book which gets created doesn't slip. And we have seen good traction happening over there. In this quarter, you must have heard me saying that we have done close to 850 crores of in the 3 months. And if you look at the other retail business which are growing quite well is PL, where we are actually now churning our existing huge customer base which we have. We have more than 6.8 million customer base, and we are using our analytics, which is newly formed a division about a year back. We are using analytics to get insights about the customers who can be given pre-approved offers. So through, and that has started giving us good traction, and we are also seeing that it has very, very negligible slippages. So that is something which is now getting traction, and we are now averaging about 75 to 85 crores a month, and it is coming at a good yield of 14% plus. And I'm sure you must have heard me in the past talking about the credit card tie-up which we have done with the FPL, which is whose which is a fintech, which is into credit card business, and we have started issuing credit cards, co-branded card with SIB emblem, and that's something which has taken off quite well. Already we have issued more than 20,000 cards, and we are hoping to ramp it up in the coming quarter too. And there we have started now getting a good traction in terms of the book getting built over there. As I am talking to you, we are seeing it crossing 50 crores of credit card book. So it's a brand new business for us, but this business comes with a good ROA. So net-net, if you ask me, I think everywhere we are focusing on good quality business. And as far as home and mortgages are concerned, we are tweaking the policies, we are tweaking the process flow. We are also strengthening the infrastructure needed for good quality underwriting. But we have seen good traction happening now in the sourcing of new home loans with the new DMA, DSTs coming up, and with the way we have formed the vertical with cluster heads and branches focusing on existing and walk-in customers, and with DMA, DST sourcing market, new cases from the market, and with the churning of the existing customer base where we can offer good quality home loan and mortgages, we have started seeing sourcing improving. Obviously, for it to really reflect in the book, it is, though we are disbursing, but then the rundown there is happening due to the aggressive pricing which is there in the market. But we are hoping to see good traction happening once we get this fully streamlined. So by and large, I think we are growing in every possible opportunity where there is a possibility of getting good quality customers. With improved underwriting standards, I am hoping to build a good quality book, which is the only remedy for taking control on the slippages which is happening due to the legacy book.
So how about vehicle loans? What's your experience there?
Yeah, very good. All the new vehicle loans also which you have disbursed has been pretty good. And here again, we are using the existing customer base to pre-approve vehicle loans. And
so
also
within vehicle, which segment you are seeing attraction?
Auto loans. I mean, we are doing it very selectively, and our volume is not that large. And you know that vehicle loans generally come with very aggressive pricing. So we are also very conscious that we do only where the credit quality is good and where we don't see any possibility of slippages, even though margin-wise it might be a little less.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mahesh MB from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Just a couple of questions. One is that when you are now recovering these loans which have defaulted out there, what has been the kind of experience that you're seeing in terms of enforcing the collateral as compared to the borrowers coming back and repaying the underlying dues? And how long is it taking for you to now recover the asset as compared to probably about a couple of quarters back?
Yeah, as far as collection and recovery is concerned, we are continuing to, we have first of all created a good infrastructure for doing a very focused collection and recovery. So we have formed a separate collection team, and particularly for handling retail collections, we have tied up with agencies across the country, and now the agencies have completely taken charge of doing collections. Earlier this was done by the branch resources, and given the number of cases which they needed to collect from, and the same team was also focusing on SME and other collections, clearly the focus on retail was becoming less from the branch side. Therefore, now we are using agencies to do a very focused collection on the retail side. Now with the bandwidth released of retail collection from the branches, now branches are focusing on SME and agri and other collections, which are basically branch-led businesses. And as far as the big corporates are concerned, clearly wherever we are sole bankers, etc., we are engaging one of and we are using all the possible rules under the country to ensure that we negotiate hard and we get a good value for money. See, it's a, I would say that we are looking at the opportunity of trying to close it at the earliest rather than waiting for a few more years where the ultimate net present value for whatever you realize in future may not really be worth it. Therefore, we try and enter into one-time settlement wherever there's a possibility of doing, and wherever we are seeing that legally we can take a quick recourse by enforcing SARFAESI and taking charge of the assets and disposing top through auctions, etc. So we are progressing on all directions to ensure that we clean up the book, and you must have heard me talking about how SMA2 book is now getting cleaned up, and we have brought it down substantially. In fact, as we continuing to do traction of this. We are trying to bring it down below 1,000 crores in the shortest possible time. And this is clearly happening due to focused collection so that we don't let them slip into NPA. In fact, the case in point is that I've been giving guidance of 400 to 450 crores for Q3, and we ended with less than 400 crores, clearly much lower than what I had anticipated. And we hope to speeden up our recovery in Q4 also. And you remember that Q3 recovery has happened without any bulk settlement which has come. In Q2, we had the advantage of DHFL helping us with good recovery, whereas in Q3 it was all granular and smaller and medium sized deals without any big deal which got resolved. In Q4, hopefully one or two of them kicks in, then we will probably be achieving more than what we are targeting to do. Overall, if you look at the overall collection for this year till Q3, we have done close to 880 crores of recovery and upgrade compared to what we did of 600 crores for the full year last year. And I'm hoping that we will surpass 1,200 crores by March, which means we would have done more than 100% of recovery compared to previous year. So this is as far as the collection and recovery is concerned. So with regard to your question on how we are planning to handle the legacy book, which continues to give slippages, I mean, you would have seen the way we have been managing it in the last few quarters by doing aggressive collection, by doing aggressive recovery, by also providing proactively, and also selling off assets where we have where we feel that it makes a lot of sense to put it to a specialist like ARCs to handle, where we'll work very closely with them to ensure that recovery resolution happens. And wherever we have provided for fully, we are also writing them off so as to manage the overall percentage of GNPA. So if you look at my GNPA, the fact that it has improved from 8.01% in Q1 to whatever we have declared now, there's a very clear continuous action happening in bringing down the overall NPA levels. And we will, it's very difficult to say by when we will completely clean it up because of two reasons. One is market is still, we still continues to suffer with the COVID pandemic, and therefore there is always this issue of movement getting restricted and course not functioning, and many of the DRTs, etc. Also there are delays in having judges, etc. So all this actually comes in the way of, you know, faster resolution. But we are hoping that the COVID-3 impact may not be as bad as COVID-2. If that supports us, definitely we will do a very aggressive collection and recovery. With the new head having taken over as recovery and collection, and with the restructured team of team under the new head, we are seeing a good traction happening across all segments.
So just one clarification, what will be your outstanding ECLGS exposure today?
Sorry, I didn't get it. Come again?
ECLGS exposure.
Just a second. Just give me a minute. I'm just taking it. I'll have to give the right numbers.
And while you are looking at the data, just qualitatively, have you started seeing slippages in this book, and have you seen reimbursements coming in from the Credit Guarantee Corporation?
I'll answer both the questions. Just hold on for a minute. The ECLGS, you know that we have ECLGS 1, 2, 3 and 4, and then there's an ECLGS 1 extension, 2 extension, 3 extension, 4 extension. All these have happened with various guidelines which have come in. The total number of accounts which we have done restructuring as per this is about 10,859 accounts, amounting to 3,339 crores. And gross advances as of December is about 2,434 crores. And 166 crores have become NPA out of that. And this has predominantly happened in the ECLGS-1, when the bank had actually offered unilaterally to all the customers, and only those who wanted to opt out came and opted out. So we are seeing NPAs happening only in that. But as far as ECLGS-2 and onwards are concerned, we have done a very careful analysis of the viability of the cases which we are restructuring. We hope that we will not see that much of slippages happening from ECLGS-2 onwards. But however, it all depends on how the market supports recovery and collection and various other resolutions.
So just one clarification, 3,339 crores represents the loans under that ECLGS product, or is it the disbursements made under the ECLGS product?
It's a sanction limit. 3,039 crores is the sanction limit, of which the gross advances outstanding as on 31/12 is 2,434.
Okay, and this 169 crores which has become NPLs, you got the repayment from the credit bureau, from the credit guarantee corporation?
Yeah. That is the continuous process, and we have been that is happening.
So you've had no negative experiences so far with the credit guarantee corporation on the ECLGS disbursement?
Not at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Anirvan Sarkar from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. One question. So what's your view on, you know, your SME portfolio and your restructured loans? We are seeing, reports saying that banks are now demanding an extension of ECLGS and moratorium on that. So if things are all good, then it leads to the question that why is this demand being raised?
Yeah, no, I think it's the question which I answered just now. I read out the numbers which we did as ECLGS and all those extension also forming part of that number which I read out. So, as far as the ECLGS portfolio in SME specifically, if you look at it, as far as the ECLGS is concerned, wherever we felt that the viability of the case is clearly established, we are going ahead and restructuring. And wherever we believe that the moratorium extension which we were to provide as per the revised guideline, when we see cash flows are showing a traction where they will be able to survive and repay, we are doing that. So we are fully adhering to the guidelines which is being brought out, and we are applying our underwriting mechanism to ensure that we do for the right cases. So as we experience the recovery, once the moratorium period gets over and as we see repayments start happening, we will, it's not that unilaterally we have given moratorium of 12 months and 24 months. Wherever customers have opted for much lesser moratorium also, we have given lesser moratorium, and we are seeing that the customers are repaying once the moratorium period gets over. So as far as, as of now, it's really not a great cause of concern for me. But having said that, since COVID has impacted SMEs and retail to a large extent, we continuously closely monitor as to what is happening in this sector.
Sure, sure. And sir, on core profitability now, our core PPOP to assets is on the lower side. We are at about 60 to 80 basis points of fee and plus our margins minus OPEX. So it would come to less than 1% basically. And so what's the trajectory we can expect here? Should we expect any kind of improvement going here ahead? Because otherwise, our ROAs are going to remain low, and even with some improvement in credit costs in the future, if our core PPOP doesn't improve, then ROA is likely to remain low. So what's our view on that?
Yeah, see, ROA obviously will start becoming positive only when we start actually giving positive profit. So right now, over the last 15 months, as per the stated strategy, we are churning the existing book which had quality issues. We are now sort of churning them with better and better quality assets getting added. At the same time, resolving the earlier book in the best possible way. And while doing that, what are all the products which we can focus on, which will probably give us much better yield? So that's the reason why we started focusing on personal loan, started to having a tie for credit card. We are also now looking at a few other opportunities where we can probably get much better rates. For example, commercial banking activity is something which we are now looking at it seriously, because many of the corporate customers, SME customers, where we can look at a fee-based income, where we can look at 100% LC-backed discounting, etc., where we are already there, but we will probably start doing more of them. And we are also looking at the products like gold loan, etc., where the credit risk will be negligible. So it's a journey. I think today my NIM is definitely improving, and you can see the NIM has improved even despite the market rates being moving southwards. Still our advances rate of interest continues to be almost at the same level for the last 6 quarters. seven quarters. And our cost of deposits has continuously been coming down because due to the efforts of CASA contribution going up and due to the fact that we are continuing to raise more money at a lower deposit cost. And this journey will continue. And as we see, the difference between the yield on advances to the cost of deposits will only keep going up because we'll continue to ensure that our cost keeps coming down, our advances are equipped with the high yielding products. But on the other side, we have a treasury which is also contributing to the overall NIM. There, if you see, due to the adopted strategy of the bank to reduce the duration, etc., the yield on investments clearly is coming down. And given the fact that there is limited opportunity for good quality assets in the market, the surplus which we have, we are also deploying it in alternate opportunities, and we have also diversified our income from treasury by going for arbitrage opportunities, by going for currency and even in taking part in IPOs, etc. Those streams have started giving us a good stream of income. Now with the new treasury system coming into place, we will obviously be doing more in those activities also. So it's a journey which we are going through, and definitely the milestone for me is to reach 3% NIM. Our aim is to reach it as ASAP because that's the only way we can ensure that with the provisioning coming down and with the income going up, certainly the bank can turn around to a positive results. But the journey will go on for, in my view, depending on how the market also is conducive for slippages not happening and helping us in doing better collection and helping us to manage the existing book. At the same time, sourcing more and more of good quality new assets which are better yielding, and continuously tweaking our liability strategy.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue if I have any more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So one is, I think you have restated the numbers and you have taken the recovery from write-off accounts in usual other income versus what we were netting off from provisions till last quarter. But at the same time, it looks like that the MTM depreciation you have kept as negative item in the other income, right? Why is that so? Because I remember, I mean, my understanding is that RBI, in the revised circular, there was no such thing, right? So could you have retained MTM in provisions, or MTM depreciation is now mandated to come as a negative line item in NII, in other income?
Kichitra, you want to answer this? I think she'll be able to answer it. Chitra, are you there?
Sir, can you speak for some, because since I am in quarantine and inside, line is not very clear for me.
Anyway, Vinod, you can answer.
Sir, regarding the depreciation on investment, it has to be netted off with the other income. That is the RBI circular as of now. Only the amount required from return of accounts, we have to adjust in the, come back to the other income. Earlier, it was adjusted in the provisions.
Sir, that part is also clear. That we have done. His question is on MTM. I think that this was due to that
ARC.
Yeah, one of the accounts in Keshura.
No, this is in other income, investment in depreciation. That is with the ARC.
See, last quarter, if you recall, we had sold two pools to ARCs where we had to take provisioning under as per the as if those have continued in our books. So that was there. This time, obviously, we have not done any sale. Therefore, that is clearly not there. This time, what we have also done is that the recovery which we have done from the fully written off accounts, which is about 5 crores for this quarter, which has been shown under other income, which was earlier classified under provisioning contingency. If you have any specific question, probably you can, we'll get in touch with you, we'll clarify, because I don't know whether I have answered your question fully.
No worries, sir. Okay, and second thing, sir, is on your growth strategy, right? So, what you are doing is, you are churning the book in favor of better rated corporates, But at the same time, I wanted to understand this more because, you know, are you lending on MCLR or external repo or fixed rate? Because it is slightly difficult to assume that, you know, your MCLR rates are at least, let us say, 80 to 100 basis points higher than some of the larger banks. And even they are having some challenges on growing their better rated corporate because the pricing seems very, very fine at marketplace. So when you are seeing a higher growth in better rated corporates, how are you doing? I mean, is it what is the strategy here, and would it continue, or you want to build a bank with slightly better focus on commercial / SME book?
Yeah, good question. See, let me answer it in two ways. One is, as you said rightly, we have obviously benchmarked these lending which we do to better rated corporates with either T-bill or with repo rates, depending on whichever is making us competitive. And second, we are looking at this as an opportunity in comparison to the alternate opportunities which we have, because clearly due to lack of good quality long-term assets, etc., we definitely have a surplus, and this surplus we are deploying for exploiting the opportunities which are there. And I am doing it with a very conscious effort, because many of these AAA corporates, once I get in AAA or AA and above rated corporates, once I get an entry, today I am able to deepen my relationship with them by offering products like dealer financing, vendor financing, even retail loans to the employees of those corporates, etc. So overall, this is very much in tune with the ecosystem concept, which anyway has been popular now, where a relationship ROE is being looked at. Even though you might have a very fine rate as far as the corporate is concerned, but overall the yield from the corporate will be much better due to the various other opportunities out there. Secondly, we are not looking at really to tie it up for a long term, because we know that long term the rates are going to go up. So we don't want to tie ourselves up with a very low rate in the long run. So wherever it is 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, within let's say 9 months to 12 months, we definitely, if we believe that we can get a decent yield in comparison to the alternatives which we are deploying, we are making it as an opportunity to acquire customers who otherwise we wouldn't have had an opportunity to get in. So this is the strategy as far as corporate banking is concerned. But having said that, will it continue for years to come? Clearly, it is today we are using it because we have surplus. And once the economy revives and if we see more and more good quality assets in the market, obviously we would want to grow regular advances book, where we'll be offering tenors of let's say 3 years or 4 years for a retail, or working capital and term loan for SMEs and agri products, etc. That obviously, and even for corporate term loans and other project loans, etc., where you can probably tie it up for a little longer period. Today, due to lack of opportunities in any new big projects coming up, etc., we are effectively using it instead of actually putting this money into very low yielding alternate options or giving it to poor rated individuals or SMEs.
Understood. So on the SME side, sir, if I see that you are seeing a QOQ decline for the last 5 quarters, and of course the environment is not very certain because of this COVID and everything, then this segment clearly is more impacted. But at the same time, other large private banks are seeing a very phenomenal growth in business banking or, you know, commercial space. So, if I were to understand how much of your degrowth in MSME is coming because of competition, and, you know, how much is because you are getting cautious, so how should one look at it?
So it's very difficult to quantify with numbers, but let me tell you what, as a strategy, we are doing. See, today what is happening in SME, there are 2-3 issues which I think one should be very clear about. One is, as you said rightly, the COVID has impacted the SMEs and retail to a very large extent, which is clearly evident from SME slippages, clearly evident in SME and retail slippages, clearly evident from many of the banks which have come out with results, etc. Having said that, so you have a choice of wanting to lend just for the growth of this segment. You can continue to lend and you can continue to suffer from slippages happening, because nobody is too clear about how the market will pan out for particularly the SMEs, whose resourcefulness is obviously very limited. And many of the business models have come in for shock due to the COVID pandemic continuing. So if you look at The other side is a rate at which these deals are done in the market. Today, obviously, there is no pricing to the risk which is happening in the market. So clearly, large banks, I won't say it's a blame, but it's probably an adopted strategy. They are actually going and offering rates which are clearly inconsistent with the riskiness of those cases. But they are riding on to maybe the good behavior of those customers with the existing bankers. And even though they could be compromising on security which is going to be offered by the borrower, or the rate which is going to be far lower, or the enhancement which they might be seeking, you have a choice of either wanting to retain customers by going down on your pricing and retaining your customer, or somewhere you need to say that this is not something which is going to help me in my overall scheme of what I would want to drive for the bank. So we are taking it as it comes, and we are obviously playing these. Customer is definitely worth keeping it in our books. We fight and we ensure that they stay, and we also try and work with the customer to ensure the overall deepening of the customer relationship happens, and we improve the overall ROE coming from the customer. Wherever we feel that the rates which are offered by the competition is far lower, which has no relevance to the riskiness, and if we believe that even the existing limits are far higher, and if over and above that, if somebody is seeking enhancement clearly to fund his losses or fund his lack of receivables, etc., we believe it's only going to add problem to us, so we let the account go. So I would say it's a combination of these. And having said that, there are segments in SMEs where we know that with a good collateral and with a cash flow assessment happening, where we have a GST data, etc., where we believe that it is a good company to deal with, we definitely keep lending. And that's the reason why we are saying that SME new disbursement is clearly, we are showing a good growth in new disbursement of SME. SME book degrowth is happening for 2-3 reasons. Book degrowing is happening due to A, slippages of SME book into NPA, that is one. Second, restructuring of SME cases, which I read out earlier also, almost 1,000 crores SMEs were restructured due to the COVID pandemic. And three, very low rate SMEs, which today are lured by big banks, clearly with the rates which are not priced to the risk. And therefore, we need to make as a bank to take a call whether it's worth retaining them or we let it go. So I am not unduly worried about the lack of growth happening in the SME book. I know that I am churning the book with better rated SME, with better quality SME, and this will really help us in our strategy of churning the book for better quality so that my slippages will keep coming down. So long as my SMA 1, SMA 2 restructured book is something which I need to grapple with, I'll definitely be expressing caution, more so due to the fact that I have seen SME cycle over the last several years of my banking. This is a segment which one needs to really handle it correctly, otherwise we can easily get distracted into building a very poor quality book.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. I have few more questions. I will come back in later. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit Bio from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, could you highlight the trends on the restructured book, like how has been the NPA experience from the restructured book, and how much provisions do we carry on the restructured book?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. And the question which you asked about the slippages from restructured book, I just want to give you a detailed picture of that. We have in all about, I'm talking about Kerala flood restructuring which we had, then restructuring happening due to DCCO extension, and then MSME restructuring which is based on GST 1, and then COVID 1, COVID 2, COVID 1 which we have done for personal loans, MSME and other exposures. Similarly, COVID 2 for personal loan meaning consumer segment, and MSME and other exposures. So in all, we have total standard restructured book of about 3,737 crores, out of which 878 crores have slipped into NPA, and these slippages have predominantly happened in the flood segment and in the MSME restructuring which we had done in the past. So in all, about in the overall book, if you look at it, it's about 23.49% is the slippages, and we have got about 180 crores which were upgraded or closed. So Overall, it has come down by about 112 crores, and as we are talking, it's at about 2,567 crores. That's the outstanding standard restructured book today. And we have seen very negligible slippages, obviously, since of course moratorium is also there. We need to see how this will behave after the moratorium gets lifted. But by and large, we see that the slippages are predominantly in the flood restructuring and in the MSME restructuring in the past.
And thank you, sir. And sir, like, what would be the provisions on the current standard restructured book?
That's as per the regulations, which is about 5%
or 5%. Okay, sir. And sir, so could you give us like the broad composition of the new loan book which has been generated post the September 20 end, which is about 18,000 crores?
Yeah, sure. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's about, I mean, predominantly it is, as I said, it's a retail is about 4,400 crores. I'm telling you approximate numbers. Retail is about 4,400 crores. Corporate is about 4,600 crores. Business segment is about 1,680 crores. And agri is about 7,290 crores, which includes gold, etc. also. So in all, about 80
crores. So, sir, like, as you mentioned that, like, we have churned about 20% of the legacy book. So now with the churning going on, so what could be our loan growth targets for like for FY23 and FY24? So any specific number you are looking at?
So we actually, as you know, we came out with a mission document in September 2020. That was obviously much before COVID-1 impact, and obviously we never knew about COVID-2 and COVID-3. Where I talked about we wanting to reach 1 lakh crore by 2024 March. That's what we had indicated. Clearly, that was those projections were made with the assumption that the market will get over this COVID, and we will not have any problems of it will be like any regular normal growth in the economy. Clearly, that is not to be so, because last 2 years, I think the country as well as the world has seen never before economic impact on the various segments. So suffice to say that we may not, we would definitely look for good quality assets, and we are not letting down our need to grow asset book which are good high yielding asset book and with a good quality asset book, because this is in tune with what I have been stating as my strategy of profitable growth through quality credit. But between growth and credit quality, definitely I would till such time I have a full hold on legacy book completely getting handled, I'll continue to build a book with high quality. Therefore, if it happens with a little lesser growth, I am fine with that. Because I know for sure that today, even with the NIM which I am earning, even with operating profit which I have, if I have a clean book, my profits will definitely be far, will be much, much better than the loss which I am showing today. So I need to improve my metrics in terms of PCR, in terms of GNPA, net NPA, and therefore I need to continue to have a grip on them. But having said that, clearly for each product, Q3, in fact, if you ask me, Q3 is the first quarter where we have had 3 months of actual normal, fairly normal economy. And we have shown that the bank is capable of doing good disbursement in the 3 months. If only the economy continues the way it was in Q3, definitely we can catch up with the numbers which we were targeted. But having said that, here I am once again reiterating that it is not merely for the growth that I am looking at growth. I would want to have a growth with quality. So long as it is coming with good quality, I will continue to lay emphasis on growth. While doing that, my bigger focus will be on recovery collection, handling restructured book, handling SMA book, etc. So that overall metrics in terms of GNP, NP, PCR, etc. gets covered. At the same time, our NIM continues to become healthy, and we continue to grow our CASA base, which is going to make us more and more competitive. We will definitely grow our government channel, TASC and NR, which are really firing very well now. With all that, we hope to continue to work on improving our cost of funds, because market rate is something which we cannot determine. Market rates are going to be decided by how much competition is desperate to get an asset. Therefore, what we can do is what we have in terms of liability, better liability sourcing. That is something which I will continue to focus on, so that with better NIM coming in and with a very less impact on provisioning due to better quality assets, we believe that we can turn around the bank for profitability.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Nilanjan Karfa from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Morning. Morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Two or three broad questions. So, first one is the data. When you talked about that ECLGS account and you mentioned 166 crore, that's what I noted as slippages. Is this 166 crore the total stock of loans or just a portion of ECLGS which has slipped?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it is from that stock only. Whatever we talked about as the exposure under ECLGS, as of 31-12 was 3,339 crores, of which this was a sanction limit, of which the gross advances as of 31st December is 2,434 crores. Out of that, the NPA is 166.81 crores.
No, no, I'm sorry, I'm still confused. The sanction was 2434, which is basically, you know, up to
3339. Sanction was 3339. Sanction limit is 3339. Advances, which is standing as of December, is 2434. Out of that total ECLGS book.
So, sir, just a clarification. So, that 2434 crore is the ECLGS amount plus your own, you know, prior.
No. The only ECLGS.
Okay, and that 166, is it comparable to 2434 or the entire loan book?
Only 243, only this out of the 3339.
Okay,
so it's only pertaining to this book. If your question is whether it's pertaining to only ECLGS book, the answer is yes.
Right, so the actual stock of loan that has slipped is from ECLGS is much higher, maybe 5 times this amount or 3 times this amount.
I didn't understand. What are you saying? I didn't understand that. Stock of what?
So 166 crore, is it only the sanctioned ECLGS portion? Or this is the total stock of loans to those borrowers which have slipped and have taken ECLGS?
So that total exposure of the bank to such NPAs, if you ask me.
Yes.
That is about 1,169 crores, correct?
Great. Okay. Yeah, that was okay.
339 minus 1169 is what I read out as gross advances standing as of 31st December, which is 2434.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that clarification. Okay. Second, on that SME, you know, we have been giving out this average advances for quite some time, and it does look like, you know, the net number of clients that we have lost is probably running at 8-10%. The question is, you know, you basically highlighted that the clients who have gone to competition, there is probably, you know, they are not understanding the underlying risk. My question is, you know, if SMEs that have moved and have survived two COVID waves have perhaps much better credit rating optionality, why do you then feel that the underlying credit risk for these guys is getting misplaced?
First of all, I'm not saying that they don't know what they are doing. So first of all, I want to correct that. Each one obviously does what he or she thinks is right. So certainly that's not the comment which I was making. I was only making a comment that there is a pricing to SME risk. There is a pricing to corporate. There is a pricing to retail risk.
Absolutely.
So initially we have seen that especially in Indian market, if you see the history of SME book of various banks, including public sector banks and private sector banks, we have seen many of them having good cycle as well as very bad cycles, and many of them really had to rehash the entire SME strategy also. So the limited point which I am trying to make is, today when an SME customer who otherwise would be in a conventional rating, he would be probably double B or even lower than that. Today, if he is getting rates of, let's say, 7% or 7.25%, in my view, over a period, this is not pricing to the risk. But having said that, do they deserve 7%, 7.25%? Even we are retaining customers by paying 7.25, 7.5% in some of the very few SLKD SME cases. But we are also going down, retaining many customers where, as you said rightly, people who have survived COVID-1, COVID-2, where they have been able to perform, where there is a clear viability, etc. And we are clearly seeing that it's worth retaining them. We are going down on rates in order to retain such customers. So
while losing, I won't say that the entire base is getting lost to the competition. It's only one portion of that probably, which are where we are not able to match the pricing, or where we believe that the pricing is not justified. That's the one which you lose. But otherwise, the degrowth in the book is happening due to them slipping into NPA and them getting restructured. Those are the other things which we need to look at. So I'm not saying that they don't know what they are doing. I'm only saying that.
No, sir, that was not my intention. I was just trying to, you know, double check exactly what you mentioned.
That pricing of SME risk is something which one needs to be cautious. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. And sir, I had actually, you know, two related questions. So could you share, you know, I'm sure, as you know, for any client that you lose, you take it very seriously. Have you broadly analyzed, you know, why are they leaving? Is it because of just the rates, or is it, you know, something about, let's say, them having to put lower collaterals, for example? Could it be service related? And anytime you lose this client, do you also lose related accounts? You know, it could be promoter or family deposits, investment. If you can share some thoughts around these levels, I mean, to the extent that you want to disclose.
You know, first of all, I want to tell you that any customer who we are losing, if we are clearly seeing traction of other deeper relationship with them in terms of promoters, accounts with us and wealth with us, or any of the other relationships we have with them, we don't definitely let them go to the competition. Clearly, we are retaining such customers because we just don't look at only credit-related income. We look at the relationship value. So clearly, we don't let such accounts go at all. And every account which we eventually take a decision to lose has been taken with the application of mind to ensure that is it at all indeed worth it. If you are seeing a deterioration in the performance of the customer, clearly we are seeing that he is struggling with the COVID hitting him very badly, and he is probably many of the, now with the GST data, you know that how much of sales are they doing every month. When you find that many of the months are having zero turnover, etc., and then when he comes and asks for very fine rates today, when a competition is trying to lure them by offering 7.25%, where the current rate which he might be servicing could be, let's say, 10.5% or 11%. Suddenly, when you are wanting to go down on 4.5% of spread, where we are seeing that there is a clear deterioration in the performance, a drastic deterioration in the performance, where there is no other relationship with the bank, we don't want to retain such customers. So those customers are the ones who we let go. Wherever the point which you made about service-related, rate-related, the service-related, clearly there is no question. I mean, just to give you, share with you an insight, is that customers who have been lured by the lower rates, some of them are coming back and say, why don't you come and take over us again? Because we are not getting the service which we were getting from you. So clearly service, there is no question. I mean, these customers we clearly have a huge edge in terms of service, and it's a well-known fact that the banks which are clearly regional banks, etc., have a much better relationship value with the customer in terms of being an integral part of whatever happens in their family, etc.
Right.
So therefore, there is no question of we losing because of service issue. Clearly, rate is an issue, but rate, we apply these yardsticks to figure out where it is worth retaining them, where it is not worth retaining them. And where it is not worth retaining them is not necessarily that a good account, even if it is earning, let's say, 7.5% or 7.75% for a SME, which I believe is something which we can live with today because our cost of funds anyway is coming down, and we are constantly working on improving our cost of funds. Still, we have a 3.5%, at least 2.5 to 3% spread which we have, which if there is no delinquency, we will still continue to earn for the bank. So we take a very conscious call wherever we let it go.
Great, sir. That is very heartening. And so, final question, and again focused on SME. What do you think is the greatest hindrance for growth, at least at this point in time? Would you want to classify it as, because we are obviously changing, you know, the risk matrix, you know, changing the processes, changing how they are onboarded. Would you want to say that, you know, teaching or the frontline stuff is something that is not yet complete? Or is it more external in terms of, is it the weak environment overall or competition? So broadly,
I think it's a combination of things. First of all, let me tell you that the entire restructuring of the branch structure as well as the retail asset structure, I mean the vertical asset structure, etc., that got completed somewhere around June, July. So and the team started actually working in their new assigned role, let's say after one month of settling down in the new job which they've been defined for. And we have also formed the L&D division through which we are continuously upgrading their skill by making them go through e-learnings on functional skill as well as on soft skills, etc. So today, the team, which is focused on a specific business vertical, they are now trying to, they are obviously learning at a much faster pace of exactly how to go and pitch to customer and what to talk and how to do negotiation and what kind of risks which are there. So we are working on multiple areas to ensure that these resources who are probably doing this business as a sole purpose, because till now they have been sitting in branches, probably they might be doing one SME deal and one retail deal. Therefore, the expertise which you expect, the nuances which you expect from each of these businesses weren't something which they were familiar with. Now, with the way the team is now settling down and they've started doing, like you can see the rate at which we are now growing the SME in terms of monthly disbursement and the rate at which you've grown our corporate book and even the PL book where we are using existing customer base, churning the existing customer base and where we make our teams go and talk to the customer for availing pre-approved personal loan. They are learning it very fast and we have a very young workforce. So our average age workforce is 32 years. So these are young people, kids who are wanting to learn and wanting to really build their expertise in learning these areas. So this is a process which is now happening at a good pace. Having said that, maybe the economy is a normal economy. With these skill sets which is getting added, probably the traction would be far more than what we are experiencing. Because of the economy being not so conducive, there are two things which are happening today. A, the opportunity for good quality assets are clearly much lesser than what you would expect in a normal economy. B, because of lesser demand for good quality loans and there is excess supply of liquidity available in the banking system, rates are given offered are clearly not something which probably a bank would want to keep it on a long-term basis. So therefore, each bank which is at a state of evolution will have to do what is best for them, and especially for a bank like ours, when we are trying to churn the existing legacy issues and when we are trying to build a new quality portfolio, you must remember that I have very less leeway to keep adding any more delinquent book to my existing book because I already have very high GNPA and net NPA. Therefore, I need to manage it very cautiously. At the same time, you cannot not grow. Therefore, you need to ensure that you grow in the right areas by focusing on improving your underwriting standards. And for improving your underwriting standards, we need not necessarily depend on employees to learn this thing. We are also using the credit models developed by consultants who we know have done a great job in this. So we are using in retail and in SME credit models which have been built by backtesting them in the good and bad portfolio which we have built in the past, and using statistical tools to ensure that we do better quality underwriting. And we are also making use of the publicly available information like CIBIL score and CIBIL CMR rating and individual CIBIL rating of those customers, etc., and GST data. So today we have fortunately many other data available to do a better quality underwriting. So we are making use of all of them to ensure that incremental portfolio which gets added are of good quality.
Perfect, sir. That's a very wholesome answer. Good to hear all of this. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to one per participant only. The next question is on the line of Akhil Hazari from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know, could you give us any guidance on credit cost for FY23, FY24?
Yeah, I would like to give a firm answer for this, but you know the situation which the economy is in, I will probably say that we'll continue to work with the 2 to 2.5% kind of credit cost. That's what we are looking at.
Okay, fine. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, just one question. Can you share, the exit
loan book, you know, which is currently enjoying moratorium, either in terms of interest or in terms of principal, the total across different categories?
This is the ECLGS figure which I just a second.
Apart from ECLGS, I think you have given that number is close to 2,500 crores. Just rounding it off. So any other book which is also enjoying, you know, a moratorium, either interest moratorium or principal moratorium under extended advances or some other category?
No, there is no such, I mean, there is nothing big which we need to really inform. I mean, typically, these are the ones which are restructured and they are clearly giving moratorium based on the guidelines which are there. So other than that, I mean, if you are talking about regular cost of restructuring where we would have probably given by way of restructuring, where probably which NPA restructuring or any other restructuring, that anyway, I don't think there is any big number, material number to really share. This is, if you ask me, the overall standard restructured portfolio book is what I read it out to you, which is about 2,567 crores.
Okay, that includes that ECLGS also.
Yeah, yeah.
That is standard restructure.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. And sir, just on the, any guidance on the slippages, you know, I think you talked about close to 2,000 crore plus number for this year. And maybe some guidance on the next year if you could help us out, because now we have built up almost 18,000 crore of the new book, which is, you know, completely doing fine for the bank. So any guidance next year, you know, from a slippages perspective?
So very difficult to tell for the next full year, but I am retaining what I had projected earlier for Q4. We expect it to be around 450 crores. That's what we are expecting. But even for Q3, I was expecting about 400 to 450 crores. We ended with 387. For Q4, we are projecting 450 crores. But we'll obviously work towards actually having it much lesser than that. Next year, it's very too early to talk about, because we clearly do not know how COVID-3 will impact, and what we are definitely sharing with you is that new book is clearly, which is not given any issues for concern. So obviously, it's too early to conclusively prove anything. So we will take it as it comes. And definitely, towards the end of Q4, we will definitely get a good sense of how we are looking at the coming year. We'll share that numbers with you.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sri Shankar from InCred. Please go ahead.
Sir,
your voice is breaking up. We are not able to hear you clearly.
I'll come back later. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, please proceed.
My question was, you explained very well about how this entire restructuring or the way business is looked at has been changed in the bank. How much has your entire the staff who has been doing a completely different thought process, methodology for the last so many years, adapting to the new changes? Because while you are advocating what is required in the current environment, is the personnel up to date with what is the required, what are the changes that is required?
Yeah, clearly, the change, if you are asking about how the team is adapting to the changes which are required, as I said, the average age of our young workforce is very young, and these are all young professionals, and many of them are MBA and engineers and chartered accountants, etc. So clearly they all have a great learning adaptability, and I'm articulating these changes, I also do a continuous communication with the entire bank as to clearly explaining what we are doing and why we are doing and what is expected from us and what is expected from them. And we are also equipping them with the tools which are required so that they understand clearly what they need to do and how they need to do, etc. So it's not just about functional competency alone. We are also looking at what kind of soft behaviors which would help them to really perform well. So even as early as when I took charge, we had clearly articulated 9 core values which we want every employee in the bank to be exhibiting. And we have clearly defined how these will have to be adapted in the work situation across cutting across functions, etc. And even we have incorporated this in some of our appraisal mechanism, in the feedback mechanism which we are planning to give to our employees. We are clearly articulating to them what they are good at and why they need to improve, etc. So that there is an overall positive change which is being brought in terms of their thinking, in terms of their action. And clearly we are using it as a rewarding mechanism to ensure that the behavior changes stays with them. So I really do not, I won't say that it is very, very easy, but having said that, I don't think it's very difficult also, because even in an existing institution, not necessarily from SIB, I'm saying even any other bank which is operating today or any other financial institution which is operating today, I think the changes which are happening in the environment is really so fast that even a non-conventional bank today will have to think about how to adapt digitally the whole fulfillment and how to digitally source a liability customer, asset customer, etc. So yeah, all of them are undergoing changes, and it's in a way it's easy for us, because while we are instituting these changes, we are also making them exposed to the latest which is happening. And being a technology bank, we are very, very strong in the technology area, and we have made, as I am talking to you, 93% of our transactions happen digitally. So it's we are actually cutting the learning curve very, very fast, and we are now comparable, and we have been continuously featuring as top 10 banks in the MeitY index of released by Government of India, and we have been continuously bagging awards in technology area. So the team is pretty much aware that technology is going to be the future, and they are already experiencing it, because many of them are youngsters. Today they know that the everyday requirement is also taken care through technology, so they are adapting it very well. So I am happy to say that we are seeing good traction. Yes, can we expect much higher productivity than what I'm experiencing now? I'm sure I will, but it's also due to the fact that economy today is not very conducive. I mean, we are experiencing 100-year situation, therefore if things were to remain, go back to normalcy, I'm sure these skill sets will definitely help us to be far more productive.
Okay, nice to hear that, and we have been interacting for quite some time, that you had laid out your strategy, and good to see that you are implementing it, and the effect slowly coming in. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. In terms of the new disbursement that we have done of 18,000 crores, what would be the incremental ROA or ROE that we are making, assuming that the credit cost is more normalized on that portfolio?
Probably we will work it out and get back to you, because I don't have the ready numbers with me, because we have just started accumulating. I mean, if you see even the rate at which this, we have built this book also, good traction has happened only in the last 6 months, because Q2 was the first quarter where at least we had 1.5 to 2 months of normal pre-situation. And Q3, all the 3 months were normal situation. So many of these loans are also fairly young loans in terms of the tenor. But we will work it out and get back to you, Rohan.
Sure. So ultimately, if I may ask, in terms of pricing these loans, like what is the target ROA or ROE we are keeping in mind, and are we able to price it at that level, or it is still because of competition price lower?
So we are, let me take this into two parts. See, one is the opportunity which we are trying to exploit in the short term, where we have surplus funds available today and which we are deploying it in, let's say, any opportunity today, whether we are able to make much more money than that by doing a short-term opportunity in terms of bills discounting or whatever. So we are, that way we are able to onboard good customers, etc., where we will start penetrating more and more by offering other products to them. There, if you look at ROE, it will be probably very, very negligible. But then, card and PL, etc., where clearly we are offering rates which are sizable rates, and we are really looking at good quality customers and offering them at a good ROE. So therefore, these products are really good earning ROEs. And even my overall, if you look at my ROI, the return on, the interest rate which I charge, it hasn't really gone down over the last 6-7 quarters. So I continue to earn close to 9% in my overall book, whereas my cost of funds has been continuously coming down. Cost of deposits has been coming down, even cost of funds have been coming down due to better CASA and better sourcing of deposits at lower rates. So whether I am able to get the exact ROE which I am targeting, so I am targeting double digit ROE, but this double digit ROE which I was mentioning as my deliverable was with the situation when we had laid down our strategy document, obviously that was much before COVID, one huge impact in COVID 2 and COVID 3, where market rates have from then to now they have gone down like crazy. So clearly, while our endeavor will be to target double digit ROE, currently the bank first needs to get into profit, which will happen with more and more of book quality assets and handling of our existing legacy book, and by continuously sourcing high yielding products. When we start growing those products, we'll start getting much better ROE and ROE. Credit card business clearly is one where we are expecting ROEs to reach about 2%, and we are already we have built a book of about 50 crores and it's growing quite well. And of course, we are late entrants to these businesses, so we will take it as it comes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sohail Halai for his closing comments.
I would like to thank Ramakrishna sir for giving us this opportunity to host the call and for a detailed insight on the earnings and the changes that sir you are making at the bank level. Before we end the call, sir, would you like to give any closing remarks?
So I wish to thank all those who had participated despite a very tough situation which we are experiencing as a country. I really appreciate all those who took the efforts to take part in this, and I also appreciate the kind of questions which were asked, clearly asking questions which probably helped me also to articulate how exactly we are bringing about changes in the organization. I hope to be giving a comprehensive and as transparent as reply as possible, which I have been continuously reiterating, and I wish to get support of each one of you in the quarters to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.